Oh, I love Mitch and Ben for Explosion News. It's my new favourite part of Explosion, I think. I think you should use the wig, Dad. Oh no. Which one? Not the afro. There's some wig envy there, I think. All right. Well, welcome to Explosion, everybody. I'm excited to be here. We're on to our last week of our attitude series. Who's excited about that? To finally get away from talking about attitude so you can go back to being grumpy every day without feeling guilty about it. Amen. That's not what it is. If you do that, you're silly. All right. Last few weeks we've been talking about attitude and we started off talking about our heart. Because for me, I really believe that the heart is where it all begins. And the Bible says that out of the overflow of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. And so it's so crucial that we get our hearts right. So we started with that and we were talking last week about our mouth. What we say to ourselves, what we say to other people, and just the impact that can have. I think we so often underestimate the power of what we say. And it's something that literally can bring life and death, and so it's something that we need to understand the power of more than we do, especially in a culture like our country's culture that really brings people down a lot, even when they're mucking around, even when they're joking, but that it creates so many problems and has so many issues. And so the tongue, the mouth is so important. But tonight I want to talk about our actions, the things that we do. That's good. I want to talk about the attitude that we can bring with our actions, with the things that we do, the attitude that we make and we create, and the culture that we create through the things that we do. Because our actions, just like our words, can bring so much to our lives. They can bring life or death to relationships, to your work, to your study, like to any part of your life. The things that you do are so crucial and so important, and the attitude and the place that you come from in doing those things can change your life. Amen. We can't just be people who kind of listen to the first 2 weeks of the Attitude series. And so we get our kind of speaking all right, and our heart, we're kind of getting into the right place without that affecting our actions. Because if your actions aren't being affected by it, then your heart's not being affected by it, yeah? What you do and how you do it, the attitude that you bring to what you do has such a huge impact in your life, yeah? I was thinking about this today and this week, and just thinking about the world's expectation of our behavior. And to be honest, it's pretty appalling. Like, the world, like the expectation that we see every day, whether it's like just around the place or in media or whatever, the message that is preached to us by the world is this message of selfishness, yeah? Where the things that you do are all about you. Where it's about your success, it's about your pleasure, your happiness, your wealth, whatever it is, like these things, and that often that would be at the expense of other people. And so our actions become, out of this selfish thinking, like selfish deeds, and selfish stuff happens, and we do selfish things out of that selfish heart, yeah? And in Colossians 3, and you can like just sit and hang out in Colossians 3 tonight, because I'm going to read a bit of it. It talks about this sort of selfish attitude and the actions that come from it. And so I'm going to read from verse 5. It says, "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry." There's an interesting one. Greed, which is idolatry. Idolatry. There we go. Isn't it interesting that arguably the god of our age, which would be wealth and money, the Bible says is a god, is idolatry, and that when we worship wealth and our creation of wealth for ourselves and for our own just selfish ambition, that we are worshiping something else other than God. And interesting that it hasn't changed. This was written thousands of years ago and it's exactly the same. And it says, because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge, in the image of its creator. It talks about this stuff, and in Colossians it lists these things which are essentially selfish things, selfish actions, the stuff that you do or we do that are just about our own pleasure. So whether that's just like in the moment just wanting something or someone or whatever that is, and or just wanting success and wealth for yourself, or just letting yourself just be angry or have malice or like bring down other people with what you say or lie. Or there's these things that are listed that are kind of these actions that I think are just selfish actions, yeah? But that's not how you've been called to live. That's not the attitude that you're supposed to bring with your actions. That's not the way we've been created to live. That's not the things that we've been made to do. And if you keep reading on from verse 12, it says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them together, all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you as richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing God to God with gratitude in your heart. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God the Father through Him. It says, don't be somebody that just lives for yourself and your own thing and your own ambition, but be people that are filled with Christ, that do everything, that every single thing that we do would be for the glory of God, would be in the name of Jesus, that it would be this response to what He's done in our lives. Amen? The way we are called to live is selfless, not selfish. Yeah. It's about putting others before you. Who was here this morning at church for the Waylon interview? Loved it. So cool. I just love that generational just impact of people, just life after life, just serving and honoring God, and just what that sets up for the people like younger and the generations after them is so incredible. But I loved what they were saying about how love and love and success in family and in marriage is about being selfless. It's about putting the other person first, and it's about caring more about their needs and what they need than what you need in your own life. And I just love that, and it's so good to hear people saying that, because so often we hear the opposite in the world. So often we hear, like, just go after what you want and don't worry about the rest. Like, when we look at, like, kind of shows, like TV shows that kind of sort of are a picture of what the world expects everyday life to be. And like, something like Seinfeld, which I love, like, a heaps funny show. But those people are so selfish. Amazingly selfish. And the crazy thing is that because of that, or because of the way the world is, that becomes the acceptable thing. Like, that's like, oh, okay, so that's how I'm supposed to live my life as a young adult. Like, if I'm like an adult, I'm single, I'm working, whatever, I'm supposed to just do whatever I want and just be totally self-absorbed. And that's kind of the picture that we get. And so then when we hit something like Colossians and it says the opposite, like, people are like, what? What is that? Like, because we're so used to this kind of selfish stuff being thrown at us. But I think if we want to live out of the attitude that we've been called to live, and we want to display that attitude, it requires a heart and a mind shift. Amen? It requires something to change in us that then changes how we act. You with me?
Yeah.
Good. I really believe we need to change from living for ourselves to living for God. Yeah. And when you make that shift, your life totally changes. So tonight, I guess I want to talk about, like, what does that look like? And how does a life live selflessly? How does a selfless, God-centered attitude show up in the things that we do and in our actions? I really believe that a God-focused attitude creates God-glorifying actions. And when your heart and your life are focused on God, what He wants, what He's got called for your life, rather than on yourself, then you will have the actions that come out of your life will glorify God. And people will see Him in you through the things that you do. I really believe that more than any message or any church service, the way that you live your life every day preaches louder. And so it's so important that we, as people who would say we want to glorify God with our lives, would do that and would have a heart that is for His kingdom. And so that when we go out and we go to work on a Monday, or we go to uni during the week, or wherever you're going, your life actually glorifies God, and the things that you do glorify God. Amen? So I just have a few thoughts on that I just want to share. So the first kind of thought is that if we want that sort of God-glorifying attitude and the actions that come with that, we can't react to circumstance. We need to respond to God. Has anybody else ever had a job that you hated? A few people. You know those jobs where you're just like, man, I do not enjoy this job. And maybe like you have to work terrible hours or do silly things, I don't know, or just... it's just really annoying, or your boss is just horrible and nasty, or whatever. You know the deal, and if you've ever been a student, then you've probably done that sort of job just to kind of make some money. I remember me and Adrian, when we were totally broke, when Adrian first moved down here and I was just finished school, we delivered newspapers, and that's a horrible job. You get like $40 for running around for hours and hours putting newspapers into people's letterboxes, and it's not an exciting job. And then we've all had our fair share of those part-time jobs, yeah? But I was reading in further on in this verse, in Colossians 3, verse 22, says this, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it, not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters, since you know that you receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving." And I was amazed by this because, yeah, we might have had a pretty average part-time job, but I don't think anybody here has actually been a slave. Yet the Bible says even if you are a slave, you should have a good attitude about your work. So how much more should we, like, as even if your job is a bit average, at least you're getting paid for it. Surely you should have a good attitude about your work. Surely we should be people that work for God, not work for people. That work in such a way that will glorify God and do it out of this sincere heart, not because of something we're getting out of it, but because it's the right thing, and it's because that's how we're called to live our lives, yeah? And we have a choice, I think, every day to react to the circumstance that we're in, whether that's your average job or whatever situation is going on in your life, or somebody offends you or whatever. You can react to that, or you can respond to God. You can work for your boss, you can work for your paycheck, or you can work to honor God, and you can work for Christ Jesus. That's what the Bible says. And a selfless attitude will be to complain, will be to just slack off and just do kind of as little as possible, whatever you can get away with. All of that stuff. You know the drill. You'll whinge about work. You'll hang out and not work hard. You'll try and figure out things that you can get away with while you're at work. All that sort of stuff. But a God-focused attitude will make you work harder, be positive, and bring life into a bad situation. Because I know that you can be working somewhere where maybe it's not the best, but you have a choice to bring life or death through the way you work. You have choice. Maybe there's people that work with you, or maybe you're studying and you're really not enjoying it. I don't know. Like, it doesn't have to just be work. I'm just using that as an example. But there are always people around you that see the things that you do. And you have an opportunity and a choice to bring life in that situation or to just add to the death. And I don't want to be somebody that just adds to the destruction in somebody's life. I want to be someone that says, that someone looks at and goes, whoa, I don't understand why he's doing that, but it's certainly better than what I'm doing and how I'm feeling. I want some of that. That's how we're called to live. That's the attitude we're called to bring. No matter where we are in your life, no matter what the situation or the circumstance that you are in, we have a choice whether to work for that circumstance, whether to react to that circumstance, or whether to respond to God. Amen? It's a simple choice. The second thing that I think we need if we want to have actions and that come out of a good attitude is to have generous actions. A selfish attitude will create stingy actions. You'll only do the minimum. You'll only do what you can get away with. You'll do the stuff that you need to do so that you'll be okay and just leave it at that, yeah? You know, everyone's done it. You'll do what fulfills your need without thinking about the needs of other people, yeah? But a generous attitude, which is the attitude that God expects, will make generous actions. That's like going above and beyond, doing something that might be hard or inconvenient for you because you know that it's going to bless somebody else. It's going to make somebody else's life better. And we can choose to be generous with the way that we live our lives. And I'm not just talking about like money or something here, which honestly you can be more generous with, like just generally. I'll just put that out there. But I'm talking about the way we live and our actions. And we can live in a generous way or we can live in a stingy way. Yeah. And I really want to be somebody that lives in this way that is a blessing to the people around me, doesn't like draw stuff off them. In Matthew 5, Jesus is preaching for one of the first times, and there's just this little bit in verse 38, he says, "You've heard that it was said, eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you." Yeah. I was really struck by this because it's not like Jesus is saying, when people are nice to you, when life is good, you should be generous with people. Yeah. But he's saying, when somebody takes you to court and sues you, you should give them extra. How is that for a generous life? That if somebody forces you to walk with them for a mile, that you would say, oh, I'll just volunteer to do an extra mile. And this passage, like I heard a bit of Bible history quickly, is talking about like at the time Israel and the Jewish people were under Roman Empire control, yeah? And it talks about this thing where a Roman soldier could say to somebody, I need you to carry my bag for a mile right now. No matter what they were doing, they'd have to drop it and they'd have to carry the soldier's bag for a mile because they were under the control of the Roman Empire. And so pretty much you're just being used as a slave. And Jesus is saying to these guys that he's preaching to, if this guy asks you, like this Roman soldier that is oppressing you and you hate, asks you to do that, then go another mile. Put in that extra thing, even when it's hard, even when you don't want to do it. Like, have a generous attitude, yeah? This is just, I think, just such a way that we need to live our lives. A while back, like, you know when you see, like, people and on the street or whatever, and they'll ask you for money, and that you sometimes have that attitude that's like, oh, they're only going to spend it on alcohol or drugs, so I'm not going to give them anything, which, I don't know, it could be true or it could not be true. But I was probably one of those people that would just be like, oh, I don't want to feed their habit or something, so I don't want to give them anything. But God really hit me with that and challenged my heart and kind of said to me, Andrew, it's not your decision to judge. It's not your position to decide what that person does with their life. It's your position to be generous, and I've blessed you to be a blessing, and I've given you an opportunity to put some light in somebody's life. And so now I'm always challenged just to give something when somebody asks me, no matter what, just because I don't want to be somebody that lives a stingy life. And I honestly believe it's more blessed to give than to receive. And as I give, I expand my heart. My world gets bigger. It opens me up to things that God wants to say to me. And so whatever the outcome of that, I want to be generous with my life. And I think this is such a key, like in your life, in your relationships, in your family, are you generous with your actions? Are you generous with the things that you do? Like, do you do stuff without being asked to do it? Like, all that sort of thing, yeah? It is so important. And I really believe as followers of Jesus, we need to be people that follow Jesus and that live the way he lived, and that as a person that would say, I'll do whatever and I will give more. I love that story in the Gospels where, you know, the friends, and they bring their friend who's on the mat and they can't get into the room, so they lower him through the roof. And I love that they wanted their friend to be healed, but Jesus heals their friend and forgives his sins. And I love that Jesus has a generous heart. He doesn't just do what they were expecting him to do. He doesn't just do the minimum. He doesn't just do the thing that they wanted, but he goes above and beyond. He does something extra, and then he uses that for something bigger, yeah? And to show people something bigger than just that generous act. And I think that's what we have a chance to do with our lives, is like, if we want to have an attitude that creates generous actions, we will create something bigger and we'll be a part of something bigger. Amen? So, generosity and being generous with our actions. The third thing I want to talk about is humility. I think this is often the hardest thing for us in our culture and in our lives, because so much of what we're taught is the opposite. And often we kind of equate humility with weakness. And it's just so unbiblical. Anyway, and so I think sometimes this is really hard. And it's hard to think, well, I'm going to put myself lower. I'm going to bring myself down. I'm going to put others before myself. I'm going to do that. Because it kind of goes against our natural instinct. Yeah? But the Bible tells us to have the attitude of a servant. And I really believe it's no accident that in Colossians it says, like, slaves, work for your masters as if you're working for God. Because I believe that the Bible, like, obviously these letters were written for people in that time who were actually slaves. It was also written for us. And God inspired that scripture knowing that we would be sitting in a Western civilization where there isn't slavery for us, at least. Like, you know that there is slavery in the world still. But where we need that attitude still. Like, God's saying, not like the horrible stuff that is from slavery, but that attitude of a slave, to be humble and to think of other people first, and not just to be about our own agendas, but be about what God's got for our lives. Amen? Yeah. To have the attitude of a servant. In Philippians, it says, Philippians 2, verse 3 and 4, which is what Josh read earlier, actually. But it says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. I just really like that, because it says, don't be somebody that's just selfish. Don't do anything out of selfish ambition. Like, not anything at all. But do everything out of humility. That every action you do, every step you take, everything that happens and everything that you do would be out of humility, would be out of this heart to value other people more than you value yourself. And that is such a challenge, amen, yeah? And such an incredible thing. But I love that God's promise to us is that he will bless the humble, that he will lift up the humble. So I don't have to worry that if I humble myself, I'm just going to get overlooked. I think sometimes that's what we think. We think, if I make myself less, nobody's going to look after me. Nobody's going to care about me. But God's promise is real. And God's promise is that if we do that, that he will lift us up, that he will honor you, and that he will bring down the proud. That's what the Bible says. And so I really believe if we want an attitude and we want actions that convey a God-honoring attitude, then we need to be humble in our heart and humble in our deeds. Amen. So I'm just going to finish up, but I just my prayer, I guess, is that these last few weeks have something spoken into your heart about how you live your life. Because being a Christian is not just about attending a church service, but it's about how you live. It's about following Christ. And I really believe that tonight and every night we have a choice and we have an opportunity to either live for ourselves or to live for God. To put ourselves first or to put Him first, to live for our own ambition and desire or to live for His glory. And I know that whenever we live for ourselves, we will be limited by ourselves. Whenever I live for God, I'm only ever limited by Him who is limitless. And that's incredible. And I know that if I live a generous life and a humble life, that God will move, that God will make my life bigger, that He will open up things that I could never have dreamt of. If I stop just kind of reacting to the situation that I'm in and start working as if I'm working for God, then just incredible things can happen in your life that you don't even know. I think that passage in Colossians is one of those bits that sometimes you want to rip out of your Bible because you're like, I hate that. God just so clearly says, don't be grumpy about your work. Don't have a bad attitude about your life, but work as if you're working for me. And I encourage you not to rip that out of your Bible, but to read it, to let it sink into your heart, and to let God speak to you through His Word, amen, because He has something there to say. I'm just going to pray. Maybe tonight you want to pray with me about the way you live your life and the attitudes that you convey through your actions. And if that's you, I want to pray with you. So maybe you know that when you're at work or at school or at uni, you're not doing it as if you're doing it for God. You're doing it as a reaction to the situation or the circumstance. Or maybe you're realizing that your life has kind of been about you and you want it to be about God. And I want to pray with you. So maybe if you could just raise your hand while everyone's heads are bowed and their eyes are closed. If God's speaking to your heart, like don't ignore that. Don't pretend that's not happening because it's real. Let God speak to you. Let God move in your life because He wants to say stuff to you. God, I thank You for all these hands that are raised. God, for young people that just want to honor You with their lives. That God, for young people that don't want to just be about themselves, about their own ambition, about their own desire, but want to be about Your glory. God, I pray that You would speak into our hearts and our lives tonight. God, that You would move in us and through us, God. That You would open up opportunity and doors for us as we humble ourselves for Your glory. And God, that whatever we do, in word or in deed, we would be glorifying Your name and the name of Your Son, Jesus. And God, we just thank You for that. I thank You for every heart that's open, every hand that's up. God, that You're going to do something incredible in their life as they honor You with it. Amen. That's awesome. Before we finish too, maybe you don't know God at all. I want to give you an opportunity to get to know Him. Maybe your life has been just you, but you're realizing that there's this Jesus that died for you and that beat death and that wants to have relationship with you and wants to give you a life that is to the full, both now and for eternity. And you don't want to live just for yourself anymore, but you want to live for Him. Then I want to pray with you tonight. So if that's you and you want to say, yeah, I want God in my life, maybe for the first time, or maybe you had a relationship with God, but you just are far from Him. I want to give you that opportunity to respond tonight. So if you just raise your hand with me while everyone's just kind of got their eyes closed, their heads bowed. That'd be awesome. Thanks, guys. Just going to give it just a minute. Just if you want to respond to God tonight, I want to pray with you. Thank You, Lord. God, I just thank You for everybody here tonight and for people with their hands up, God, that You would just be real to us and be real in our lives, God, that You would just forgive us for the things that we've done wrong, and God, that we would be people that live for Your glory, not our own ambition, God. And Lord, I pray that You would come into our hearts, that You would have relationship with us, and that You would speak to us every day, God. Amen. Just before we finish, we're just going to pray this prayer together. So if you responded to that or you want to in your heart, you can pray this and really mean it. But everybody, let's just pray this together. Dear Jesus, I believe in You. Thank You for forgiving me. Come into my life and I will follow You. Amen.